This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, pleasure to have you with us here ahead of Open Championship Week on William Hill's Golf Podcast. It's Dave Kellner and Mike Grenham to do the talking here and go through this championship, which is at Royal Liverpool, affectionately known as Hoylake this week. It's England's second oldest links course behind Royal North Devon Golf Club. And Mike, it has been described as a true links test, and we're hoping that it is a true links test this week.
Absolutely, Dave. That's the name of the game in the Open Championship, isn't it? So, looking forward to a very good event at Hoylake. It'll be interesting to see what the course sets up like. It was very brown in 2006, wasn't it, when Tiger won there? So 8 years since we've seen competitive action on the course, but we're chomping at the bit.
We are indeed. The course measures 7,312 yards, and Royal Liverpool was once described by legendary golf writer Bernard Darwin as blown up on mighty winds, a breeder of mighty champions, which I really like.
And I'm a great lover of Bernard.
You look through the roll call here, Mike, as well. It does seem an appropriate statement because Walter Hagen's won here, Bobby Jones has won here, and Tiger Woods in 2006 rubber stamps that statement to a certain extent.
Not a bad bunch of players, so let's hope we get a similar calibre this year. Great field, and it's all ready to go, isn't it?
It is indeed. And the golf course, the R&A have made a few changes to toughen up the golf course, Mike. Yep. They've extended it by 54 yards. Bunkers have been removed, leaving 82 across the course. And new swales have been introduced around a number of greens to toughen up the approaches. I think they've got it how they want it this year. The fairways apparently are narrower. And the course has been described, as you mentioned, as lush by a number of the pros. And the lay of the land might not be as much of a factor as it was in 2006, where Tiger only pulled the driver once all tournament.
Very hard that year, wasn't it?
Incredibly hard. And he didn't hit a fairway bunker all week either, Tiger Woods.
I think the Hoylake officials don't want that to happen this time, do they? They want driver again, don't they? They want people hitting drivers. So I don't think it will play as fast as it did then.
No. Are we looking at classic links players this week, Mike?
We are indeed. Well, players who I think can play well on links.
Yep.
I think that's always important, as we talked about last week in the Scottish Open. Links play is different to the rest of the year, and you've got to look probably for players who play well on those type of courses rather than players who have particular skills in various statistics. So a little bit of that stuff goes out the window. I look for someone who's in good form who can play well on links courses.
The betting as follows.
And who needs and gets a bit of luck.
Yes.
Because that can be very important, as we'll reveal.
Both on the links and with the draw. We'll go through
draw
that in a few moments' time. The betting as follows here with William Hill. Betting each way a quarter. First seven places here with Hills. Justin Rose is 14-1 favourite. Adam Scott 16-1. Henrik Stenson 16-1. Rory McIlroy 18-1. Martin Kaymer 22s. Tiger Woods 22-1. Phil Mickelson 25. Sergio Garcia 25-1. Graham McDowell 28. Jordan Spieth is 28-1. It's 35-1 Ricky Fowler and 40-1 Barr. Great week to be a punter, Mike, because lots of competition out there. And betting each way a quarter for seven, that's a big incentive to have a go this week.
Yeah, it's a great incentive that, Dave. Seven places each way is fantastic when you think that it used to be four not so long ago. Then it moved up to five, didn't it? Quarter first five. And then now we've gone from six to seven. So, for a quarter first 20 might help us.
But, you're not wrong.
Yeah, but no, that's it's great, and it gives us some really good each way value this week. It's a difficult puzzle, obviously. A lot of players have got chances, but when you've got seven places, you've got to play each way.
Indeed. I have got three picks for this championship.
Do you want to go first?
I will. I'll lead off then. I'm going with 60-1 shot Jim Furyk as my headline selection here. I'll go 1.5 points each way on Furyk. I think the price is very, very attractive. And even though he's only won one major championship in his career, his consistency in the majors stands out, really. And Mike, I didn't want to have to bring this up, but I must. You'll remember his near miss at Oak Hill in the PGA last season. When he went off at a similar price.
Slightly bigger,
slightly
actually.
Bigger,
there was hundreds about an 80s that year, last August, and he went ever so close. So he's definitely good enough to win a major, whatever anyone says.
Subsequently gone on to finish tied 14th at the Masters and then finished tied 12th at the US Open. The course, I believe, is guaranteed to suit Furyk. I think you're going to need an experienced golfer this week, someone with a lot of links quality, and Furyk does have that in abundance. He finished fourth here in 2006 behind Woods, and it's his 19th appearance in the Open. He's got five top tens, four places at the Open Championship, and he's tied fifth at Royal Birkdale in 2008. Reads well in the context of this event as well. Similar part of the country. And he's played some superb golf this season. Second at the Wells Fargo and at the Players. Ranks 10th in accuracy from the tee. Number one in scrambling on the PGA Tour, Jim Furyk, this season. I think he's got to be a player this week, and 60-1 is a fair price.
You think that scrambling stat's important?
Yeah, I do.
I do too, yeah. I think scrambling and putting, if you were going to look at any stats, are probably as important as any. You've got to get up and down from the difficult places that you might get yourself into if you get offline. So, yeah, I like that. I like Jim Furyk's chance.
Having said that, my next two selections, one of them is scrambling can be suspect, so we'll wait and see. So I've got... He's definitely my standout player this week, and the next two are a little bit more speculative.
Unfair. It was Dave. My first pick, my headline pick, is also a good scrambler, and that is Matt Kuchar.
Right.
Matt Kuchar is my headline this week, Dave. I fancy him strongly, I have to say. I think he's a very, very good price at 40-1. He's top 10 on the scrambling stats on the PGA Tour this season, and just outside the top 10 in putting as well, which I like. Second for scoring average, 20th for driving accuracy, etc., etc. Had another very good season, and I like his low ball flight for this event. I think he's starting to really get the hang of links playing the last couple of years in the Open. He's finished 9th and 15th. In good form again this season. Won at Heritage, 2nd in Houston, 4th in Texas. All places where you can get a bit of win, by the way. So some decent form. 12th in the US Open. That's plays well for his chance here. Also played very well at Augusta, where he ended up finishing tied for fifth at Augusta. Could have played a little bit better in the final round. Some people might say that he isn't as resolute as he could be in majors and he hasn't won one yet, but his time is coming and I think it's going to be this year. I think he's got a massive chance in this event, and 40-1, he's by far the best value in the field.
40-1, Matt Kuchar, by far the best value in the field.
Two points win. I think so. 1 point place.
Okay.
I think he's got a massive chance this week, Dave. He's been in good form all year. He's really getting the hang of links play, isn't he? And I just really like his chance. I like the way he hits the ball. And yeah, if he gets any luck with the draw, and we'll come on to that later on, and the weather, he's got to be there or thereabouts.
Okay, my second pick, a player that you like, but maybe has a little bit of a squiggle for you at the moment. Rafa Cabrera Bello is my second selection. I think 150s is a very, very tasty price here. He didn't play brilliantly last week, finishing tied 27th, but did play in the Scottish. We've not really mentioned that. Last four winners of the Open Championship have played the week before in Scotland.
Fair point.
Cabrera Bello is one of those. He's ranked inside the top five in the greens and regulation stats on his last five starts on tour, which is, I believe, testament to quality iron play. He's having a stellar season. There have been a few blips, which we've mentioned in previous podcasts this season, where maybe he should have closed out, but he has got six top tens in 15 appearances this season, and his BMW International finish to get into that playoff, which was eventually won by Fabrizio Zanotti, was sensational. Didn't shirk the issue at all on that occasion. And he was tied second after the first round last year at Muirfield before finishing tied 21st. He's out late on Thursday afternoon, so fingers crossed he's got the right side of the draw there. But I think he's a big price this week. The negative is he is a little bit inexperienced, but I think that's factored into the price, to be honest. I think the 150s is big on Cabrera Bayo, so I'll go a point each way on Rafa.
Yeah, I like him in links play, Dave. It's a very sporting pick. He's a big price, so he could run well for you. Good luck with that one. I'm having a little bit of I'm a little bit of a speculative here, and a guy that I think's overpriced. Luke Donald is my second pick. Not really been mentioned by many people for this event, but he's a very good links player. Actually missed the cut in the Open last year, to be fair. But in three of the four, his last five Open finishes read like this: 5th, 11th, missed cut, 5th, missed cut. So we can see that there is a potential for him to miss the cut. And I have to say, he's been starting majors very poorly of late. Been giving himself no chance after bad first rounds. So a little caveat to anyone who does follow me in on this one: be prepared that he might. I could even advise people to back him after the first round. If he gets off to a decent start this time, maybe have more on than having all of it before the event, because he has definitely hampered his hand. That's the one thing I'm worried about slightly. But other than that, he's a good links player and has shown glimpses of coming back to his own form this year after remodelling his swing, which he says he's about 90-odd% there with, which will do for me, because most of them will have some kind of tweaks going on their game. Second at Heritage earlier in the season, third at Wentworth, 16th with a very good weekend last weekend in the Scottish. Again, didn't start particularly well. But this is a master putter, a master scrambler, 55-1 for a former world number one. He's only 36 or 37.
Yeah.
He's a big price at that. I like Luke Donald's chance this week if he can get off to a reasonable start. And the course could be really made for him, you know. It really could. So I'm just a little bit tentative because he is throwing in those wobbly rounds. But 55-1, I'm willing to find out.
Luke Donald, 55-1 here with William Hill.
That is huge. He's been, you know, in three of the last five Opens, two of the last five Opens, you'd have got a return each way. And at 11th in another one, so he wasn't that far off. I won't mention the two wins. Three out of five good runs it'll do for me at 55.
No, I think you've been fully transparent there. You did mention that he's missed a couple of cuts in the Open in recent years as well. I'm going with Stephen Gallagher as my third selection. Just a shame he's been cut in the betting.
One of my three players who made the top 10 last week, Dave, out of three picks. Did you mention that?
I didn't. I was going to come on to it with Stephen Gallagher. If you can have a look, I've got it written down here. You picked him last week at 40s and he placed. I didn't note that down.
And Lowry placed and Carlson missed out by a shot, but it was top 10.
Yeah.
So I warmed up well in the links.
You did?
Yes.
Hopefully that's a precursor.
Will he put well enough, Dave? Because he was on my mind this week again.
You've got to hope so. He's speaking very, very confidently. And he says that the putter's on. Again, in a similar vein to what you mentioned about Matt Kuchar, the ball flight's going to help Stephen Gallagher.
Most certainly.
There's no doubt about it. It's on the limit at 66-1, I think. He was 80-1 yesterday, which was nice. I'm actually going to just go half a point each way at 66.
It has been
clipped. I thought the 80s was very nice. I mentioned on last week's podcast that Casey's more likely to win a major championship than Stephen Gallagher. But I'm picking Gallagher this week. But there was a huge discrepancy in the prices.
Yes.
But now there's just a little bit of a discrepancy in the prices. So it my mind is slightly altered on the back of that. But I'm sticking with him, and I'm just going to cut the stakes slightly to half a point each way. He's elevated his game. You mentioned it last week, but he's elevated his game to a new level, hasn't he, really?
Yes, certainly.
In the last couple of seasons, having won back-to-back in the desert in Dubai, he's gone on to post placed finishes at Wentworth, the Nordea Masters, and at last week's Scottish Open. You picked him last week at 40s where he placed.
Did we mention that?
He's a superb links player, won the Dunhill in 2004, played well in the Open last year, and I reckon he's got a good draw as well.
Yeah.
After you do your final pick, Mike, we'll mention the draw, but he's out early on Thursday.
We should talk about the draw. Yeah, no, I get that one totally, Dave. I backed him last week, obviously. I was slightly haunted by that four-putt he had on, I think it might have been the Friday, where he was going ever so well and then just... but he came back fantastically at the weekend, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was it a 63 or whatever it was on the Sunday to get placed, which was happy days. So... Yeah, again, that ball flight is perfect for here. Plays links really well, has always played well in, well, not always played well in the Alfred Dunhill links, but has good finishes in that as well. So,
should he? We're talking when he was 80s yesterday. I know we're reflecting a little bit there, but he was double the price he was last week for this event. Finished fourth last week. Links player, should he have been double the price, really?
No, 80s would have been good value. Yeah. I think 66 is reasonable value, Dave, to be fair. But 80s is decent because he's just not a name, is he?
And no.
You see, there are players priced for this event, in my opinion, on what they've done in years ago and their profile with the general public. The price is priced slightly differently, isn't it?
You get a lot of players that... Usually the English players, actually. So Donald looks a decent price at 55-1, but you usually get the English players that are underpriced. And I think someone like Sergio Garcia, just, you know... I think
criminally underpriced.
Yeah, I just think that there are a few players that the general public latch onto in the Open Championship.
Sergio's a classic example. He's zero from 2048 majors or whatever it is. Superb talent, but he can't be taking 20 vibes about him in a major until he wins one, surely.
No, I don't think so.
You know, he's got more talent in his little finger than I have in my own body. but he's not won a major, and he's criminally short just because people know who he is.
You managed to get 28 points in the Stableford on the front nine.
24 points the other night. Yes. I don't think Sergio could manage that, do you? So maybe that's unfair. My final pick, Dave, is someone else who I picked last week, but not Gallagher. Shane Lowry is my final pick. Lowry's been clipped a little bit. There was treble figure odds, which I helped myself to a little bit of on Sunday, Monday. But he has been clipped into 80s, which dampens enthusiasm slightly, I have to say. But I think this fella's got a right chance. A real link specialist who... again was placed on the links at the weekend, has won the Irish Open as an amateur on the Louth, County Louth links, should have won the Alfred Dunhill links last year. Really, really well suited to this form of golf. The one probably negative is I do think one thing you need in the Open is experience of the Open. I'm not keen on players who haven't played many Opens. So a slight question mark is he's only played two Opens, 2010 and 13. But 37th and 32nd in those, Dave, very reasonable finishes for a guy who has improved since that time.
Yeah.
Seems to have lost a bit of weight and is, after a slow start to the season, has really picked up with the second place at Wentworth, where Rory just ran past him and he did nothing wrong. Had a little bit of a blip in the US Open and the Irish Open of all places, but then has bounced back with a 12th in the BMW in Germany and a 4th in Scotland last week. Puts well, gets the ball on the green in the right number. In fact, at Royal Aberdeen last week, he was 9th for greens in regulation, 3rd for putting in greens in regulation. At 80-1, I really like Lowry's chance. I can really see him running a big race.
I like it. 80-1 on Shane Lowry this week. Let's spin through some of the leading contenders before we do the honourable mentions.
Yeah.
Have you got a few honourable mentions?
I have a couple of honourable mentions for sure.
Justin Rose and, it was Justin Rose and Adam Scott as joint favourites. Justin Rose now clear favourite.
Cliff, is
that deserved?
In my opinion, it is, Dave. Can he win three times on the trot and is he worth betting at 14? No.
What about his Open record as well?
Average.
Yeah, not great. Adam Scott?
He's not a player I warm to these days. Always underpriced for me, but he's played brilliantly in the last two Opens, hasn't he? So
very few negatives in his profile.
Just his price, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Rose at a bigger price, I'd be really tempted, even with his Open record, because he's playing brilliantly.
Let's not forget as well, Adam Scott traded short price favourite for the last two Open Championships.
He did. Oh, you wouldn't be at all surprised to see. Those two guys are the worthy favourites.
Henrik Stenson, 16-1.
Oh, I was really tempted to tip him, Dave. I tipped him last year at, I think it was 66-1.
66-1 it was, yeah.
He was second, wasn't he? He's 16s this year.
Yeah, that's the
problem. Is his chance that much better? Question mark.
Just got to wonder about the price for a non-major winner.
You do. I think you do, Dave. He's got everything to it. He's great on links. Loves the event. Playing really well. Due a win. Just coming right. I might have to have a little saver in running on him. I'll keep my eye on Henrik. He's the one of the real favourites I nearly backed.
Especially if the if he gets behind and the wind starts blowing, I'd want to be with Henrik. The way he hits that three wood.
I wish I had 66-1 about him this year.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy 18-1.
A little bit of rain would help Rory, wouldn't it?
I think so.
He likes softer courses, and there could be rain. You just have to.
School of thought thinks that he needs a dead calm open to prevail.
Or a rain-sodden course. He plays well on softer courses. That would help him, wouldn't it? I don't know about that. I just think dead calm, yes. He doesn't like wind, does he? His ball flight's very high. I've never had the up and down as his best event. Yeah. But he's so talented. Well, if you could just cut out that one bad round.
Martin Kaj, he's worried about Fridays. There's lots of articles going around about him panicking about what's going to happen on Friday.
Round two has been awful.
Yeah,
he's led first round leader. He's worth backing for that, as a lot of people will.
Yeah, albeit much better bet for first round leader.
The secret's probably out of the bag on that. But yeah, a weird one that I couldn't quite back him this time. Although the price is tempting, Martin Keimer could be. He likes links courses and. Yeah, he keeps winning the biggies, doesn't he, this year?
Back to his absolute best, Keimer. Tiger Woods, 22-1. I thought you might have gone for him. I just thought, you know, you were so... When we did the pre-season major preview, you were so confident. And I understand, obviously, things have changed massively in the intervening period with his back surgery, which he didn't expect at the start of the season. He's not played much golf, and he's come back at Congressional. Didn't augur particularly well. There's reports saying that he's missing a lot of fairways out there in his practice rounds as well. A lot of negatives, but 22-1.
Yeah. It's a big price, isn't it, Dave? But obviously, you know, if he'd come here fit and raring to go and had decent form behind him, he wouldn't be 22-1, would he? So I really thought at the beginning of the year, I did pick him for this event, didn't I? But that was before I knew he was going to be out for so long with a back injury. He's won a US Open with a broken leg, hasn't he? So who knows with this guy, but it's going to be ever so hard for him just after one tournament where he didn't play particularly well.
It'd be great to see him in the mix.
Oh, it'd be fantastic to see him in the mix. It would, and it's not impossible. I'll be watching closely. Tiger watch.
Phil Mickelson, 25-1, big price.
Along with Stenson, very close to being picked by me. He was double dot, so you know, which means he's getting close to being picked. 25 is tempting. He's playing ever so well on links these days. I never thought I would say that. Again, a decent performance at Aberdeen.
He's really embraced it, I think.
Yes. Just shows his talent.
Putting?
Exactly. Words out of my mouth. Watched him last week and I just thought, is he putting well enough? I'm not sure he is.
No, he's streaky historically, though, isn't he? He can get it going at any time.
But he was himself and Henrik were the two that nearly made my list.
Just a couple more names before we move on to the honourable mentions. Graham McDowell and Jordan Spieth, both 28. Jordan Spieth, by the way, our compiler Mark Ed said,
he likes selection. His chance,
That's why he's so short in the betting. You just worry about experience with Spieth at that sort of price anyway, but
I think you need experience in opens, Dave.
Yeah,
I think you just need to know links play and the pressure of is different, but he's, if anyone can win one early doors, it's him.
It's him, isn't it? And he showed at Augusta, obviously. That's a course where you need historically you need a lot of experience, and he nearly blew that out of the water.
Agreed.
So he's interesting. And GMAC, a lot of people picking him this week. I think he's underpriced again.
Yeah, I do too.
We said that in the French Open.
He won it, didn't he? Yeah. But obviously he can win. But no, he doesn't catch my eyes a bit.
No. Honourable mentions then, Mike. Who was closest apart from the names we've
just been to? Mickelson and Stenson were probably closest, Dave. And Zach Johnson, perhaps?
Yep.
Zach Johnson has a great open record in the last couple of years. Played John Deere and was second at the weekend, which I'd rather he came over and played in Scotland, but I know he's an affiliation with that event. But I think Zach Johnson could go well. And outsiders, under the player about last week, Robert Carlsen is interesting.
He's
playing very, very well. I just wonder if there was someone to come out of the woodwork and play really well at a big price. JB Holmes has been in good form this year, and he's a massive price.
200-1.
Yeah, he's a massive price.
I actually quite like Stuart Sink at that price as well, 200-1.
Well, he's won one, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And those are the probably a couple of outsiders. You?
Yeah, a similar theme to last week, actually. A couple of names that I picked last week that I still like this week. Paul Casey was a guy that I mentioned last week. Obviously picked him, and he finished 14th in the end. Casey had a destructive 9 on the first hole on Saturday.
Yeah.
Which was just, it's heartbreaking. When
pretty much placed otherwise, wouldn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. You take those 5 shots back and he's bang up there. And Ernie Els, 80-1. His Open Championship record is incredible. And I actually think if we're moving on to the special markets, 100-30 for him to be top South African looks decent to me. He's the most experienced by a long way. Slightly out of form, but wasn't terrible in Scotland. He's got 13 top 10s in 23 Open starts, including a couple of wins, which is incredible.
He's not bad, is he, then, on the old links?
He's not bad on the old links. So I thought he's interesting at 80-1 and 100-30 in the top South African market.
Fair call.
Other specials, then, Mike?
Yeah, go through them, Dave, whatever you want.
Yeah, the makeup of first round leaders is interesting because we've touched briefly on the draw.
Yep.
But as you've been saying out in the office all week, it plays a major part in this championship, more than any other tournament on the calendar.
Yes, people have been nodding off. I've said it that often and eyes glaze, but it does, doesn't it?
Just going about the office, tapping everyone on the shoulder.
Random people. Did you know? And what I've been telling them is this, that basically, the draw in the Open is different to a lot of other tournaments. In most of the tournaments, you get early one day, late the next, or vice versa. 2 tee starts. In the Open, you can get a bit of late, 2 lates, can't you, almost?
Yes.
Almost like a moderate late and a late late. So that's one thing that makes it difficult. And the other thing is that the weather, Dave, is so hard to predict. You look at weather forecasts, it looks fairly placid on Thursday, maybe a bit windier on Friday. The weather plays such a massive effect and can really impact upon the draw. So one of my pieces of advice that I've said this the last 2 years, no doubt, on this podcast, save a good percentage of your staking back for in-play betting.
Yes.
Because you can get you can pick the player who plays best in the first 2 days, but he gets the wrong draw and he's shots behind because he's just got a bit of bad luck. So say maybe 30-40% of your staking back for the weekend, I would suggest, so you have an interest. And also so you're able to see where the weather's going and what's happening. And, there is an element of luck in the Opens when you're betting. There really is.
It sounds as if the morning starters are going to maybe get the best of the draw. Obviously, as you've just mentioned, you need to keep a close eye on the weather because it is very changeable.
I'd certainly want an early starter tomorrow for first round leader.
I think so.
So I'm interested in Robert Carlson again for that. He's out in the first group, you know, Dave.
Yeah.
I like Robert Carlson's chance in the first round leader betting. And another Swede who was out early, Freddie Jakobsen, who has some good open form to his name. They're the 2 first round leader bets for me. Definitely want to be looking at early players tomorrow. But there is a chance that it could be blowy on Friday afternoon where tomorrow's earlier starters might not get as good a run of things. But as I say, the draw is very complicated in the Open. Study it, look at it. It's not as straightforward as week in, week out.
McIlroy, by the way, 16-1 to be first round leader. He's got a morning tea time on Thursday, 9:26 start time.
Put anyone off that, would you?
You'd much rather bat that than 18-1 for him to win the championship.
100%.
Yeah. Any other special markets that you like? I quite liked a market that Jamie Spence mentioned on the other podcast. Gregory Bordy. At 2-1, I do like that to be top Frenchman. He's made the cut in all 4 Open Championship appearances, which might be enough for a win in the market. There's only 3 players in that market. Victor Dubuisson, albeit obviously a terrific talent, hasn't got much links experience at all. Struggled last week on the links. Failed to make the cut on his only Open start in 2010. Missed it by an absolute mile as well.
Yeah.
Has finished 5th at the Dunhill, but in very different conditions. And the other name in that list is Victor Rui, who makes his first ever Open appearance. So on the back foot immediately there. That's a good price, 2-1,
yeah.
Gregory Bordy to be top Frenchman.
Absolutely, I'm a fan of Bordy, as you know, and he definitely plays links well. Yeah, 2-1's nice. I quite like Shane Lowry for top Irish player at 9-1. I think that's decent. Got McIlroy, McDowell and Harrington to be, I guess. Only 7 players in that, and Lowry's playing ever so well. I think he's overpriced at 9-1.
Yeah.
Were there any other markets that caught your eye, Dave?
Yeah, one more. I think Jimenez is nailed on for that top senior market. I really do. I think he's got a squeak of definitely finishing top 10, top 5. And I know there are some old-timers in there, big names, and some players with great links form in that list. But I actually don't think 8 to 15's horrible in that particular market.
Well, Davey's out to 1-3. He's 1-3 now.
Is he?
He's 1-3, so people have taken note of that. And
he was 8-15 yesterday. Yeah. I hadn't checked this morning. I do apologise.
1-3, yeah. Tom Watson would be... Faldo played quite well last week, but he won't win that, I don't think.
No, I don't think
Shane so. Monty's not in it, actually. He won another major at the weekend on the senior tour and is playing ever so well. He's rejuvenated. Yeah, I'd go along with you there.
Another couple of tempters. I've mentioned the Ernie Elspeth, top South African. I've backed Cabrera Bayo in the outright, so he's a definite interest in the top Spaniard market, where Sergio's very short at 7-1. And Matteo Manassero, I think, is a tempter as well at 13-8 to be the top Italian, to beat the Molinari brothers. I quite like that bet.
Yeah. Manassero's one I'll have a little sneaky eye on. I really will. Because he's warming up a bit, isn't he? And he's immense talent. It's only a matter of when for him.
Yeah, I think so. And an Open Championship is a good opportunity as well, because length not necessarily a factor here this week.
Yeah. It plays to his strengths, doesn't it?
Definitely.
Hopefully. It's fascinating. I'd have thought Hideki Matsuyama would have some interest in a couple of the markets, wouldn't he, as well? His debut last year in the Open was spectacular, so... He's a player to look out for, I guess. So it's just warming up, bubbling up nicely, isn't it?
I'm looking forward to this week immensely, Mike. You can follow us on Twitter, by the way. I'm sure we'll be tweeting throughout the Open Championship at D. Kellner and at M. Grenham.
I will definitely be tweeting. I'm going to have fair stakes here, but I'm saving, as I've just advised, I'm saving some stakes back to get in. Because you can easily pick good picks, but they get the wrong end of the draw, a bit of bad luck, and they're out of it, you know. So it's easy. You want to have an interest at the weekend in this tournament, because that's when it gets really fascinating. You don't really sitting there on a Sunday thinking your bets had gone 3 days earlier.
Yep.
Save some money back. Unless you're going well, then play it up. Have someone else. If your bets are going well, play them, have a little bit more on them. Otherwise, pick someone else if you're out of it. So.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
Yeah, I like it.
Have I mentioned the draw is quite a big factor here?
Draw is a big factor. Who's the player you don't want to win this week?
Anyone that I haven't backed. probably I would have to say, at the moment, Henrik Stenson or Phil Mickelson. Henrik Stenson.
I'll go Paul Casey. If he was a little bit bigger, I think he'd
be... What price is he, Dave?
55.
Not
just a little bit tight. I just thought it was a little bit tight. I thought he could be a shade bigger.
Jos Luton would be one I wouldn't want to win either.
100-1.
I've been backed him every week this year.
Yeah.
But Casey, you
good links player.
You wanted a bit bigger?
Yeah, I wanted a bit bigger on Casey. And just that one destructive shot that I think still in his bag concerns me. Around an Open Championship venue.
Can't really do that in the Open,
no, this,
can you?
This is a classic links test this week.
And you know what? That's the reason I'm back Mickelson, because I could just see him taking a treble or a quad somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure you can do that. You've just got to make your mistakes bogeys, not doubles.
And I hope the wind is a factor. I don't want to see an Open Championship like the one we saw in 2006, where Tiger didn't pull the driver all week. And even though he played incredible golf, the wind was a non-factor. I want this to be a true Lynx golf tournament, an Open Championship where the players struggle a little bit and they've got to think creatively out there, Mike. Let's hope, fingers crossed, that's the way it is. Recap the picks then, Mike.
Okay, my picks are Matt Kuchar, 2 points win, a point place on him at 40s. I really fancy him. I think he's got to be in the mix. Luke Donald. As I said earlier, keep an eye on him. Maybe play your bet if he starts well. If he starts well, I'd fancy him very strongly. But pre-term, just got to get that good first round in. I'll go a point each way on him at 55, Luke Donald. And the same on Shane Lowry at 82-1, where you may also want a saver on him at 9s in the top Irish market.
Like it. I'm going with Jim Furyk as my headline bet, 1.5 points each way at 60-1 on Furyk. I'm going a point each way, Rafa Cabrera Bayo at 150-1, and half a point each way at Stephen Gallagher He's been cut into 66-1.
You're not happy about that, are you?
Not happy about that at all, can you tell?
Yeah.
And if I was to have a special bet this week or bet in one of the supporting markets, it would definitely be that Bordy bet that Jamie mentioned, 2-1. I do like that in top for Benjamin, because I'm not convinced De Buisson's in absolutely optimum form right now, and Link has no links form.
No, I like that bet, Dave. It makes a lot of sense. Yeah. That could pay for a few other bets, couldn't it?
It could.
I'd probably go for Carlson, maybe first round leader, but I might also have a sneaky little bet. On him and JB Holmes. JB at a huge price, he could easily bomb out, but he has played reasonably well in the Open before. So they're the two that were on my mind at massive prices, along with Freddie Jakobsen, who could also go well in a tiny first round leader bet and a little bit of a saver for the tournament.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for listening to the Golf Podcast, folks. And go on.
Twitter. You mentioned our Twitter handles, haven't you? I was about to say, I will definitely tell people what I'm doing on Friday evening, if I'm having any more bets.
Yeah. At D. Kellner and at M. Grenham, if you want to follow us on Twitter. And remember, you can check out all William Hill's podcasts, including that podcast with Jamie Spence, at williamhill.com/podcast. It's been a pleasure, folks. Enjoy the Open Championship from Royal Liverpool. It should be a cracking week, and we'll speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.